I keep telling people the best time to buy a car is in the second quarter of 2023.
Welcome to Wealthion. I'm Wealthion founder Adam Taggart. Car prices went bananas after COVID hit, propelled by inventory shortages from disrupted supply chains and the unprecedented stimulus sent to businesses and households. Now here at the start of 2023, the boom may well be ending. Used car prices, which nearly doubled post-COVID, fell for much of 2022, though they still remain much higher than their pre-pandemic lows. Also, lax lending standards and extending auto loans during the recent boom are coming back to bite lenders. The percentage of loans that are at least 60 days delinquent hit 1.65% in the third quarter of 2022, the highest rate for 60-day delinquencies in more than a decade. Where is the auto market headed from here? And will patient buyers be rewarded with better values in 2023? To find out, we're fortunate to welcome Lucky Lopez to the program, an automotive industry YouTuber whose boots-on-the-ground reporting has recently cast him into the mainstream media spotlight. Lucky, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having on. Looking forward to our conversation.
Good, good. Lucky, I know we've been trying to get you on the program for a while. You've been a man in very high demand, so super glad that you're finally here. Real quick, can you just give our viewers a quick rundown on your background? How have you come to know so much about the automotive industry?
It started back in 2000 when I opened up my first shop here in Las Vegas. I just had a passion for cars, first with auto repair, then I opened up a body shop. Then from there, opened up a car rental company and then basically transferred out to a dealership. And I was just fascinated by the whole industry. So I decided to go even deeper and I started getting into lending, going out and buying paper portfolio, which is what we do to go buy auto loans from buy here, pay here dealers, other banks, stuff like that. And I just tried to immerse myself totally with the car business. And that's pretty much how I started back from 2000. So I got a little over 20 years of just doing it day in, day out, every day. And it's not only something I do as a living, it's just also a passion of mine. I absolutely love the car business.
Okay. And your YouTube channel is great evidence of that. It's a great channel. You got a really big audience there. One of the reasons I'm really excited to talk to you, Lucky, is the audience here at Wealthion has been wanting to get an update on the auto market for a good while. And while I was trying to get you on the program, I had the opportunity to bring on Charlie Chesbrough, who's the senior economist at Cox Automotive. He was on the program last December, so a month ago. And folks, if you want to, you know, hear his point of view on the auto market, I'll put up a link to that video right here. But Charlie, you know, he's an economist, so he looks at a lot of reports and that's sort of his view of where the auto market's headed. And to a certain extent, anyone doing that is looking at data that had to get collected, compiled, put into a chart, whatnot. So there tends to be a bit of a lag to it where you're right there on the front lines, right? You're there seeing what happens at the dealerships, seeing what's happening with the lenders. You've got a real-time view of what's going on, a real boots on the ground view. So very interested to hear that. And my gut from watching your channel is that your opinion might actually be pretty different from the mainstream economists like the folks at Cox Automotive. So really looking forward to diving into that with you. So with that backstory, what is your current assessment of the auto market right now?
Without putting any curse words in the phrases, I would say it's absolutely going down. It's, you know, when I see stuff like Cox Automotive saying that the economy's fine, that the car market's fine, there's not going to be any drops, it's going to be a slow, steady correction. Everything I'm seeing is the complete opposite. I know they're taking data from just one or two sources, but where I collect my data from is multiple things. One, as a dealer, I'm literally going out there to the auction every day buying cars, which Cox Automotive, that's where they get most of their information. But also as what's called a portfolio buyer, where I deal with banks, my job is to go out and actually knock on bank doors and try to purchase auto loans from them. And I get to actually see behind the curtains of how auto loans are actually performing, how a lot of these are not being reported to the public, how they're actually bundling them in different sections and selling them off to banks, different banks. And it's almost like a game of hot potato with bad paper. So what I'm seeing right now is the biggest thing is too many people have cars they simply can't afford. With rising interest rates and how inflation just got simply out of control, it's gotten even worse. And, you know, I like to tell this story back, you know, in 2020, when people started getting the stimulus money, you know, they were going out and buying these cars with $1,000 car payment. So let's just say a Dodge Charger. That's one of the things we saw, these people just going out buying these overinflated cars. And back then they're like, well, I can afford $1,000 payment because I'm getting $4,000 a month from the government and I have no bills. I don't have to pay my rent. Well, fast forward to 2022 and 2023, back then they probably could afford it, you know, with, you know, not paying their rent and everything else, but now they're back to the regular jobs. They're making half of what they used to. They basically, everything has doubled since then, the cost of rent, the cost of gas, the cost of insurance. And we're watching more and more Americans, I think it's one out of every four is 30 days late. And it's one out of every, I think, six that are 90 days late, which is real alarming. And normally we don't get scared because like, oh, there's people that are always going to have bad credit and there's going to be repos and so on and so forth. But the big indicator is the prime customers, the customers with good credit. We've seen default rates go from averaging of like 1 to 2%, doubling up to 3 to 4%, which doesn't seem like much in the scheme of things. That's why these Cox Automotive people don't say anything, but that's nearly double than what it used to be. So that's some of the alarms that I was raising over a year ago. And it's so funny because people thought I was nuts back then, and everybody laughed. And then all of a sudden, as this thing started crumbling, I just watched all these views like kind of grow on my channel. And a lot of the stuff I've been saying over and over again, and now it's the news, I guess, videos that I recorded for like CNN, Fox News, and everything else, now they're starting to play. So we're slowly starting to see some of this stuff come to fruition.
Gosh, that's so interesting. And I will say that is a pretty different story from the discussion that I had with Charlie at Cox Automotive. And again, it's nothing against him, but it's just differences of perspective here, right? And his perspective was sort of, the prime buyer has really not shown any signs of weakness and seems well positioned to keep things supported out as far as they're currently looking right now. Yes, maybe the premiums for buying a brand new, you know, Ford F-150 may come down a bit, but doesn't seem to be any worry on their end about people still being able to buy F-150s at the current rates. You're definitely telling a different story. And yeah, I was shocked when you told me that the default rate on the prime buyers has jumped from 1 to 2% to 3.4%. Because you're right, that's a doubling, right? It's yeah, relatively low percentage. But when you see that in what should be the strongest, a doubling of weakness in what should be the strongest player, that's something that really should catch our attention here. You mentioned one out of four folks are 30 days late, one out of six are 90 days late. I'm just curious, can you put those into context? Are those bad numbers from what we've seen over the past couple of years? Are they
It's average? Worse than back than 2008. That's what kind of threw me off is when I go buy auto loans, they'll have a bulk of loans anywhere from like 1,000 loans to 50,000 loans. And as we take the numbers, we assess it. And I haven't seen numbers this bad since 2008. And this was back in, I believe, January of 2022 is when we first started noticing the trend that all the loans that were originated in 2020, 2021, and 2022 were almost a double. The rate was doubly, or excuse me, I hate to say doubly. It was double the default rate of what it was back in 2019, 18, and so on and so forth. And now we've already passed the 2008 levels where the record default rate was 14%. We're hovering around like 13.5, I think, across the board with subprime, everybody else, and mid-prime and prime customers. So this is actually worse. And that's why I'm shocked that more people are not talking about it. I feel like it's being kind of swept under the rug because, you know, the car business, yes, that is kind of scary and it's scaring dealers. But people like Cox Automotive, they're always going to think, well, people with good credit are always going to buy cars. That's true. But the problem they're not thinking of is as banks start having massive defaults, they're going to have these big deficiencies. And this is the problem. This is the thing that I'm telling everybody. This is the thing that breaks the straw that breaks the camel's back. Cox will sell the same amount of cars every single month at Manheim Auto Auctions. But when me, the dealer, purchases this overinflated car, let's say the retail on this car is worth $55,000. If I'm paying $55,000 at the auction, I have to find a customer or consumer that's crazy enough to pay me maybe $60,000, $65,000. So now these inflated prices get out of control. Well, what's happening now is the repos are starting to come in. And let's say I sold that $55,000 car for $60,000. over MSRP or over inflated prices. Well, now the bank takes this repo, brings it back to the auction, and they sell it. And let's say wholesale auction price is $45,000, but they still owe, you know, $60,000 on this car. So that $10,000, $15,000 deficiency, the bank has to eat it. And little by little, every month, the banks are eating more and more of these deficiencies. So what's going to happen is the cops can say whatever they want. The banks control how many cars us dealers sell because they have the ultimate power. If they do not want to lend to consumers at 130, 140, 150% LTV like they normally do, this is going to be, I call it the credit noose that's going to tighten around dealers' necks and is driving sales down. And it's already started. I talked about this about 6 months ago. Banks were cutting off like crazy financing, like 96 month financing on a brand new F-150 Silverado, 84 months, you know, these crazy options as banks are taking more losses, almost like the 2008 housing crisis. They come up with new rules, new regulations, whatever they can do to balance their books. And this is the thing that I don't know why dealers are not scared of, and people like Cox Automotive, because once the banks stop lending, which they're slowly, they're going down and they're only lending book, it's just going to crush companies like Cox Automotive, Sonic Auto Group, AutoNation, all these people stuck with really high overpriced inventory. And it blows my mind that I hear these people like, the market's fine. The market's fine. I literally feel like we're living in 2008 again. You got the 10% that are screaming from the hilltops, it's going to be bad. And then you have the 90% of the people like, it's fine. It's all sunshine and rainbows. It's not that bad.
Yeah. All right. So super fascinating. And yeah, I mean, part of that's just human psychology, right? I mean, a lot of people don't want to admit to themselves that they may be poorly positioned for the future. And then in certain cases, there are people that maybe don't want to publicly admit this because if they do, people are going to change their purchasing behaviors, which is probably going to exacerbate, you know, the arrival of the problem. But you mentioned a ton of great things there. I got so many questions. I guess first is before we get to the dealers, let's get to the lenders, right? You deal with them on a daily basis, like you said. From what you've told me, I would think they would be beginning to freak out here. How much are the lenders freaking out at this point?
About 4 months ago is when I stopped buying paper. Usually banks always sell auto loans back and forth. It's something that we all do. Every bank gets X amount of dollars every quarter to lend out. And if they don't lend it out, they get less and less every quarter. So their job is to go out and buy paper. This is the first time in history that I've known of in 20 years that they stop buying paper. Every bank that I deal with doesn't want to touch it. A lot of the bank managers I spoke to are upset. They're freaking out because their bonuses are structured on loans, getting new loans, and also the performance of them. They're talking about not getting bonuses for the next like year or so. They're hiring more collection agent specialties or specialists because they have such a high default. And the sad thing is they're literally told, because I was going to get a few of these people on my channel to talk about how bad it is, because this is the stuff that I want to show the public can't see unless you're in my position. And they were told flat out from multiple companies that they are not allowed to speak publicly about this situation, that it falls under the Fair Credit Act. We cannot share consumers' information because it's illegal. And so anytime we try to get some sort of data from them so I can show people, they always hide behind the, oh, it's consumer rights, it's consumer credit, we can't show you it because it's private information, which is absolute BS. It drives me nuts. But that's why I think these banks are so scared, because like you said, if everybody knew that the market was crumbling, it would drive the prices down even faster. So right now, I feel like they're trying to use this false hope and prerogative of like limited supply, there's not enough cars, propping up the market, praying to God that people don't start using their heads and just wait and watch how this basically facade crumbles.
Well, like you said earlier to me, this just smells so much like what we saw in the housing market back in 2008, even down to the point where, you know, all the executives, as you said, their incentive is on, you know, making loans, right? They don't, you know, and what that does is it bad incentives drive bad outcomes, right? So you had, as I understand it, and that's what I'd love to talk with you about right here, is especially between 2020 and 2021, you know, it seemed like lending standards for auto loans just dropped, you know, down into the core of the earth. I mean, it was just like they would give a loan to anybody with a pulse who had a stimulus check to spend, right? Just like we did with housing, you know. So my concern is that, like, what we're going to see this time around, like this market cycle subprime is going to be the auto market, the way that the housing was back in 2008.
Oh, 100%. I mean, you hit a nail on the head. Is, you know, when we were starting to go into the pandemic, we were buying cars back a book, operating the same principles. And then all of a sudden we started hearing multiple banks saying, hey, you know what, we're going to give you, instead of, let's say on a prime customer, we're going to give you 110% of LTV. So if the customer has good credit, they don't want to put no money down, we can cover sales tax and maybe a few bucks of aftermarket products, warranties, et cetera. They were going up to 150, 160%. So I was like, okay, maybe they're going a little extra because people just don't want to spend the money and they're stimulating sales. That's originally how we thought it was. They were just going out of the way to stimulate sales. But then all of a sudden they brought the subprime markets into it. People that we usually would lend 90% of LTV, giving them 130, 140, 150% loan to value. And it blew my mind. So all of a sudden this rush of all these, we call them stimulus ballers on my channel, people that, you know, that didn't pay their rent, that waited 3 months, got a big stimulus check from the government, had $10,000, $12,000 to spend, just showed up to the dealerships. And we were open here in Las Vegas during the pandemic. Like, we never even closed. I think we closed for like one day and then we were back open because we were considered essential. And we were selling cars left and right. We had the dealership that bought my dealership, I sold out to them and I stayed on as a transference for the next 3 months before I was going to leave. And I winded up getting stuck there because of COVID. And we sold 110 cars a month for like the next 4 months, which usually we sell about 30 to 50 cars, which was And the scary thing was, is normally, you know, if people show up with like big chunks of money and everything else, and they can't prove of income, banks will say, hey, you know what, you're a subprime customer. We need to see pay stubs. We need to see bank statements. We need to see W-2s. We want to make sure that whatever you say you're making is something that's continuous. Like, it's going to stay there. Like, if you were, let's say, a college student and you just graduated from college and now you have a degree and let's say, I don't know, you're an engineer, you know, you were working at Denny's before. So if you show up to my dealership and you're working at Denny's for a year and a half, but you just graduated college and you got an engineering degree, I can sell that picture to the bank and the bank will give me more money to lend to an individual like that. There's got to be some sort of purpose for the bank to increase lending amounts. When it came to stimulus money, they didn't ask for like past bank statements. They didn't do a lot of the same things. They just saw all this free money coming from the government and they're like, we're going to pump these loans out, get them, and then we're just going to hold on them for a little bit and then sell them to another bank to see who wants to take, you know, the loss. And so the frenzy began. Everybody was just buying deals left and right. The prime banks got into it first, subprimes got into it now. And then all of a sudden they collected all these auto loans, all these auto portfolios, bundled them off, and they started selling them off to each other, basically almost like a deadly game of hot potato to see who wants to hold onto this really bad paper that's probably going to be worth 50% of what it's going to be in 2023. And it made the market ridiculous. And unfortunately, a lot of the consumers got stuck with this stuff because there's no bailout, there's nothing else. And to hit your point about the housing market in 2008, I'm really scared because when this fallout happens, which it's gonna happen, I believe that people are gonna cry and they're gonna scream and they're gonna whine and say the auto business is crooked, that they need to have some sort of government regulatory. And that's what's gonna screw people. Because if you think about it today, if you want the government to step in and tell you how much you can afford and what you could buy, you know, they did that with housing. A lot of people are upset now because they can make $100,000 a year, but if you buy a house here in Vegas, you can't afford a decent house. You have to go buy a condo if you're making $100,000 a year. Mm-hmm. A car, a basic Tahoe today, a brand new Tahoe, a family vehicle, is $95,000. So it's like, if the government says, well, you know what, you make $100,000 a year, you can afford a $35,000 car. What is the automakers going to do? They're pretty much SOL. They can only sell you something very affordable, something cheap, and it's going to totally tank the auto market.
All right, totally tank the auto market. Okay, that's part of the risk that we're talking about here, is sort of a systemic reckoning in the auto market that you know damages consumers, damages the players in the auto market. Good for nobody in the end, except maybe affordability might get better, but. Before we get to that part of the story, I want to stay here on kind of the main trends that are coming into play. So we're talking right now about the lending, right? Which was, we had two bits of things that were enabling people to buy that were probably extraordinary, right? One, we had a lot of the COVID stimulus coming in, but we also had the lenders really taking down their lending standards and just letting pretty much anybody in the door, you know, with a pile of bills walk off with whatever car they wanted, and they didn't do the homework to say, is this guy really going to be able to afford his payments? And real quick, because I'm sure you know the stat, I've heard a stat that like the percentage of auto loans that defaulted on like the first payment was never made is like higher than it's ever been. Is that true?
Yeah, it hit record highs back in, I believe it was May of 2022. And then it's continuing the same pace. I did a video on my channel where I walked around, I was at a repo yard. And one of the things that startled me was we were looking at all these cars that were in the repo yard. Some of them were up for repo for over a year. And one thing they all had in common, they had paper plates from when they drove off from the dealership. Now, a paper plate is only supposed to be there for 30 days. Some of these cars haven't been registered since 2020. So they didn't register them. They never made the payments. Half these cars didn't have insurance. And the sad thing is a lot of the banks, which I feel sorry for, people would go to the dealerships. And this is how bad the car business is. There's forums on there on how to screw banks and dealerships. So they would go buy a brand new car, use their stimulus money to buy the car. And as soon as they got it and the loan was processed, they would call the bank and say, I can't work because of COVID. So you need to put my car into forbearance. And some banks had up to a year of forbearance on customer payments. So that's why I made that joke that a lot of these things, it's like a snowball that's getting out of control, because first, the banks had to do the forbearance to make the government happy so they can keep pumping the money out. But now they're trying to repo these cars. The forbearance are showing up. And a lot of these forbearance programs didn't show as negative payments on the credit history. So a lot of the stats that we talk about, like the 1 out of 4 that's up for repo, that's all from Experian.com. A lot of their numbers are skewed because they technically can't report how many people are truly late until the next following quarter. And
oh,
so
my goodness.
That's why I'm so excited to see after this first quarter, we're going to see the numbers for the last quarter of 2022. And I think it's going to be way worse than what people are thinking.
It's going to be way worse than even the numbers you mentioned to us at the beginning, because they can't include those forbearances until they actually become like defaults. And by a forbearance, these are people obviously trying to game the system in the way that you described. But when they get up forbearance, they can still drive the car, right?
They can drive the car. The government will basically tell whatever state they're in that they're not allowed to repo these vehicles. And so it completely caused a pause where traditionally that was part of the surge. Normally we get repos in every week and we just put them up for sale and we go to the auction and buy them and I sell them to new consumers. When they stop that, and we're not talking regular banks, I have title loan companies, pawn shops, everybody, nobody could repo during this time. So that's why there was such another shortage of the market of used cars.
All right, so we're going to talk about this in a bit, but obviously from what you've said, there's got to be like a tidal wave of repos coming down the road, I imagine.
Oh, they're already here.
All right, well, let's put a pin in that, because I sense that's going to be a really juicy story. But getting back to what I'm trying to set up here is we had some extraordinary situations that were enabling people to buy cars they really had no business buying, right? The stimulus money, the lower bank lending standards. Going forward, the banks are going to have to start tightening their standards, obviously. And maybe you can talk to that for a second. But I want to pair that with, this is my estimation, I'm curious if you share it or not, but because we made it so easy for people to buy over the past couple of years, we pulled a ton of transactions from the future, from today, you know, into the past, right? And so now there's going to be this purchase drought where a bunch of cars that otherwise would have been purchased in 2023, the purchasing demand is not going to be there because those cars were already bought last year or the year before, right? So you're going to have this squeeze between the banks approving less loans to buy stuff and fewer people showing up anyways to buy stuff. You're kind of smiling and smirking and nodding as I'm saying this. Are you seeing the same thing here?
Yeah, I called it robbing the future, and they didn't understand me. And I was actually at a dealer convention, and I made that joke. I'm like, you guys buried your consumers. I mean, this was 2022 and 2021 was record profits for everybody. We're talking independent dealers, franchise stores. They made less cars, and we made double the profit than any other years. So just keep that in mind. But the problem is now, like you said, the lending is getting tighter. the market's changing, cars are going down. And traditionally, we expect consumers every 2 years to purchase a new vehicle. That's what us dealers rely on. Every 2 years, we have this cycle of new customers. As we sold these cars for overinflated values, let's say 150% LTV, as this market is slowly going down, these customers are getting further and further buried into these vehicles. So now most cars out there, I think it was one out of every three has at least $5,000 to $10,000 of negative equity. It's something ridiculous. So now these customers, they're already trickling in. They bought at the peak at 2020 and 2021. Oh, I'm ready to get a new car. We had a guy come in just the other day, had a Silverado, I think it was like a 2015, you know, and we're like, okay, blue book on it's like around like 16.5. Let's see what he owes. $35,000. Some dealer put this poor guy together, gave him 84 months financing on a 2015 at 18% interest, and he's buried. There's nothing we can do. And I feel bad because he's like, well, can I refinance it? Because my payment's almost $1,000 a month. I'm like, no, you can only refinance $15,000 because that's your vehicle value.
Right.
So now all these consumers are stuck in these overpriced cars. Dealers have also overpriced cars. There's no equity to transfer. And it's just making the market bad. So we're projecting they basically robbed at least 2 years of their future from the pandemic of, you know, pushing all this overinflated inventory on these consumers. And like you said, it's going to be a drought for the next at least 18 months. And not only from a demand aspect, but also from a lending aspect, because as these banks take these massive losses, it's going to get harder and harder to lend. I mean, I've never seen banks do a 180 so fast, where before, as long as you had a pulse and like a 650 credit score, I get you whatever you want. Now they want to see the big down payments. They want to see, you know, multiple bank statements that match pay stubs, that match previous auto loans. They're going back to very traditional rules, what they used to. So yeah, you said it best. I mean, they literally robbed the future, and there's going to be a really bad sales drop that's going to affect everybody.
Okay. So we robbed the future, purchase drought, the credit lending sphincter is tightening hard. Let's get to the point that I think everybody cares about who's watching, which is prices, right? So because of the easy lending and the excess stimulus and everything like that, and a little bit of the FOMO that comes along with it, right? Because there were supply shortages, which we haven't even really got into yet, but we can talk about that in a bit and how big a factor that's been. But people were just insane chasing car prices, right? And lots of cars going for way over MSRP. In the used market, you hear stories about people that were basically being able to trade in their 5 or 6 year old cars at the current MSRP for a new car. I mean, just crazy things that we really had never seen before. I gotta think, just law of supply and demand, if we see a lot less purchases over the next 18 months, then we're gonna see prices come down and correct, especially if we start seeing an increase in supply from all these repos, you know, these cars that people are walking away from. Also, I don't know if we're gonna see an increase in supply anyways, just because the chip shortage is declining and we're able to ship new cars more now, whatever, I'll let you comment on that. But when it comes to the highly elevated state that auto prices have gotten to, when you look over the next 18 months, how much of a decline, well, do you see a decline? And if so, how much of one? Is it going to be mild, moderate, or severe?
It's going to be mild. I mean, we had a severe one. Like, that's my number one asked question. When are the car prices going to go down? As of 2022, the last 6 months, the market lost 30% of vehicle values. They lost 12 to 14% in November alone. Now, I show these people numbers. There's an MMR chart, which I'll give you, which shows wholesale auction prices. And this is what us dealers live by. Just in the month of November, we lost 14%. So let's just say 35, 40% is what we lost just throughout the whole year of 2020 from current prices. Now, that's not going to get us back to where the prices were at double, which there are now. But if we take a section of that off, as we fast forward to 2023, we're seeing another 30 to 40% coming off of vehicles. And it's funny because people are like, well, that's not enough. We need more. And it's not going to happen. It's going to drop. It's going to be a slow, steady decline in pricing because there's a few factors. One, dealers have a lot of cars. They just don't tell you about it. I love new car stores. This is one of my fun things I love to tell people. If they tell you they only have two Silverado trucks, you got to buy them, you got to pay over MSRP, drive to the back of the lot. You're going to see like 30, 40 of them just sitting there. They all have inventory. They all have that. But also, dealers, they overpaid for these cars. If they paid $30,000 for a $25,000 car, dealers are going to wait months. And this is the problem with dealers. They're dumb. They will wait months before they will actually take a loss on a vehicle. Now we pass that on to the banks. We have all these repos sitting in big pools all over the United States. They will literally take, let's say they have 100 cars. They will take 10 out every week and take them to the auction. They will not put them all in the auction once because they know the price will crash. Mm-hmm. So they just slowly spoon feed and trickle them out. And so it takes months and months for as the stuff to unfold. So back in the beginning of 2022, we talked about how prices are going to drop because all the repos are coming in. People thought I was nuts. But as we watched, you know, every week, the more and more cars going at the auction, the supply filling up, dealership slots filling up, people started realizing that, okay, there's more inventory. There's everything out there. And one statistic or one stat that we use is what's called days on lot or days on market. You guys can look this up on Car Gurus. It's very simplistic. Back during the pandemic, average day was about 7 to 10 days. Cars were flying off the shelves. As soon as you get them, they were gone. Now we're hovering around 60 days as average on days on market, which is higher than pre-pandemic levels, which is letting us know that cars are sitting longer and taking more time to actually sell. And another thing I like about Car Gurus, you can track a car and you can do this on Carvana too. You can put favorite, save this car, and it'll notify you every single time there's a price drop in the car. Hmm. And you can literally see on their chart, like it started at 36,000, 33, 32, 31, and it's going down and down and down. So the problem is people go into the dealerships and they don't think prices are going down because they ask once and the dealer says no, and they get upset and they throw up their hands and they walk out. Oh, they said they're not gonna work with me. I was like, that's their job. They're gonna lose money. So they're gonna tell you they can't budge. This is the price because they're buried in it. They can't sell it for loss unless they absolutely have to. So we tell people, if you want a good deal, all you got to do is go on Car Gurus. You can even go to some of their websites and it'll show how many days it's been on there. After like 60 days, that's when you'll get a deal, because a lot of these dealers got in bad habits of keeping these cars because of the supply and demand. They can't replace it. Where now, every week, there's more and more cars. I just did a video the other day. Every week, there's about 30,000 cars going through the auction back in the beginning of January of 2022. Fast forward to this January, there's a little over 75,000 cars rolling through Manheim this week. And that's just one major auto group. There's ADESA, there's thousands of other small independent auction houses around the United States. So that's just a sliver. So every week, this snowball is getting bigger and bigger, from trade-ins, from repos, from people just walking away with their cars. One of the hottest businesses right now, which nobody's talking about, is car purchasing. I do it myself, but I just stop because everybody's out there buying cars and take them to the auction and selling them. But the problem is they keep buying, but they're not selling. AutoNation has buy centers all over the US and they just keep buying cars. And now they can't sell them at the auction. So they're bringing them back to their own stores to see if they can sell them because they don't want to take a big hit.
Right, right. You're making me think of this article I read a couple months ago about car flipping. And I'm just curious, you know, I mean, to me, that's the sign of a bubble top, right? I mean, you saw that in the home market, right? Everybody was flipping for a profit, and then all those flippers got crushed when the market turned, right?
No, 100%.
Was that sort of new this cycle, or is car flipping always just kind of been a thing? We just haven't heard of it before.
I mean, it was always around, but it wasn't as popular, and it was more to like experienced people, where all of a sudden this rush came and we saw so many people jump into the automotive industry, almost like real estate. Like I'm sure you saw back in 2008, people that could be a Walmart door greeter, all of a sudden they're a real estate mogul. They got five houses with ninja loans that they couldn't afford. Same thing with the car business. We had all these tech companies like Carvana and all these other ones jumping into the car business, thinking that they can rerun the whole system. And we had all these companies coming out. We buy your cars online, sight unseen, you know, the Zillow of the automotive world. And they just got crushed. I can't remember how many businesses there were. I think we counted at one time, there's like 100 websites. I think it's down to like four or five major ones because they can't, they're taking losses. They can't sustain what they're doing. They can't keep buying and losing money every single month. And so now this hot trend that was making easy money, buying cars sight unseen, pretty much crushed it. I mean, it almost took CarMax. I mean, they took a massive hit. Carvana is pretty much dead because of it. And AutoNation is having major ramifications because, you know, some of their stores can't get rid of this inventory. So AutoNation, I tell most people, look, that's the biggest auto group in United States. They have more deals than anybody else because they simply just have more inventory.
More inventory. So let me ask you, you say they can't move the vehicles, but that's a function of price, right? They can't move vehicles at the current price. And you gave the example of the Tahoe, right? A family car that's right now MSRP for $95,000, right? Which, till not that long ago, was like an entry level price for a family home. I mean, in certain places, right? I mean, yeah. We have this. I guess maybe this multiple questions packed into this. Maybe I start with the first part of it, which is, do we have just an affordability issue in the housing market these days? I don't have the data, but maybe you do. But just sort of as a share of family income, has the price of a car, you know, increased dramatically as a percent of share of family income? I don't know. I just can't imagine the rationale for spending $100,000 on a car that's supposed to be a functional tool.
No, I mean, they were saying that the average household income back in, I think it was 2012, had to make a little over, I think, $65,000 a year to afford a house, you know, regular bills and a brand new car. Fast forward to today, it's $120,000 household income is what you need to get a regular car. Not, we're not talking Mercedes, BMW. We're talking the $90,000 Tahoes. You know, I mean, even a Camry, I think some of the Camrys go all the way up to $70,000 now. It's just
absolutely $70,000 Camry.
Yeah, it was it's the TRD version one. I remember seeing it online. It was 70 grand and they even asked for an MSRP markup, you know. And I remember the funniest one we saw was Toyota RAV4s that were selling for like 30, 40 grand. They had a $30,000 dealer markup. So people were paying almost $80,000 for a Toyota RAV4.
And is that because they had like a solid gold steering wheel? I mean,
I couldn't rationalize it. Like, don't get me wrong. Like I bought an Audi R8, which was my dream car, and I paid MSRP, but I refused to pay anything above that because I know with depreciation and how much I'm going to pay for it, where I'm going to be at. But you fast forward to today, these dealers, you know, they simply can't. People can't afford the car. So not only is the sales price high, because my loan for my car is 1.9%. I got it for a steal. It's not costing me anything. Where today, if you have a 750 credit score and you came into my dealership, I have maybe one credit union. If you bought a brand new car, that will give you like 5-6%. But all my other prime banks are at 7-8%. And you should see how upset people get. I'm in a bunch of dealer groups all over Facebook. And they lose so many deals because these 700-800 credit score people show up to the dealership. And not only do they want way over MSRP, they're going to have to pay a crazy high monthly interest, which makes the car simply unobtainable. 100%. Like, affordability for a brand new vehicle is totally gone. The American consumer has no choice but to purchase a used car because the new cars are just ridiculously overpriced.
Okay. And
go ahead.
Sorry. So this is where, when in talking with Charlie Chesbury, he was sort of like, and it seems that there's a cohort of Americans that are wealthy enough to just kind of keep that thing going. Do you agree? Or do you think that, no, this is going to hit, you know, a limit where just no one's going to be showing up to pay these prices at some point?
I mean, there's always that, I call it the greater fool theory. There's always somebody willing to pay more than what you're going to pay. But that's what these major manufacturers are even banking on. Ford, Honda, Chevy, Toyota, they all came out and said that in 2023, they're going to make less cars to keep profits high, to get grosser. And they keep saying supply chain. That's why they're going to build less. But if you think about it, they've made record profits these last 2 years. Why are they going to build more cars to make less money when they can make less cars and make more? And so they're thinking the same way of Cox Automotive. Oh, there's going to be a few high-end consumers that are going to overpay for these cars. It's going to work until somebody like Volkswagen or Hyundai come in there and just flood the market full of cheap cars. We call it dropping their pants. Like, somebody's going to drop their pants to eat up market share. They're going to realize that they don't even care about making a big chunk of profit. They just want to eat up market share. I mean, Ford pretty much told everybody they're no longer making any type of economy cars. It's all SUV trucks. So now there's more market share for these other manufacturers to get. So a lot of them are still thinking that, okay, there's going to be all these people making all this money. This is the way we're going to go. I mean, the same thing was in 2008. All these crazy models, all these crazy concepts, all these extravagant things were still going on. I don't know if you remember, like the C8 Corvette, they were supposed to build that in 2009, 10, 11. They were already in constant building because they were going to charge an extra $60,000 for a mid-engine Corvette because the economy was great. And they believed that there was always going to be an upscale consumer that can afford this car. It was going to be called the Zora back then. Same thing. All this stuff collapsed. And then now they're back to building basic cheap cars. Same thing's going to happen. They're going to say, they're going to talk a big game and there's going to be tons of high-end consumers. But when they get slapped, like right now, new car sales are down 40%. I don't care how you scream and say that you're great. 40% over the next year is going to crush dealers because they're going to have no choice but to sell more used cars. Used car values are going down, so it's more of a benefit. I think the thing that people forgot was when used cars went nuts, dealers, franchise dealers were still selling cars at regular MSRP. So why would you pay $40,000 for a two-year-old Toyota RAV4 when you could buy a brand new one for at MSRP? But then dealers got smart, and then halfway through 2021, that's when all the ridiculous MSRPs came about. So now all this stuff's coming to roost, and the market is not what they think it's going to be. I mean, at the end of the day, it's all about affordability, economics. Like, we're going into a recession. There's less money. Lending laws, like I said, is what's going to tie up everything else. So they can say high prices and whatever else, but it's just the market's going the opposite way.
Okay. And then on inventory, part of the story, and you tell me if it was a truly accurate one or not, was that, hey, there's a dearth of new cars because they can't get the chips and the componentry they need. And therefore, dealers are running out of new cars. And so if you need a car, you got to go into the used car market. And that's what really stoked demand in the used car market. Was that really true? Because you mentioned that dealers will say they only have two, you know, Broncos on the lot, but they've got like 50 more in the back. Is inventory not just equilibrating, but maybe expanding in the used car market? Because first, there's not the spillover from the new market anymore because the new market's kind of recovered volume-wise, but also because, you know, these people that bought cars they had no business buying, they're finally getting repoed. They're finally having to dump those things because they just can't afford the lease fees and stuff, or the loan fees. Could we see a much better selection in the used car market going forward?
100%. I keep telling people the best time to buy a car is in the second quarter of 2023. Supply chains were affected quite a bit. I know in 2020 and 2021, once everything dried up, it got very, very hard. But at the second quarter of 2022, everything was back to normal. I used to love getting in debates with people like, there's a chip shortage. I'm like, okay, I can't remember the name of the Taiwanese company that makes 90% of the chips in the world. But, you know, all the smartphones, every computer, everything else, all those chips come from that one major manufacturer. And so I would call dealerships on my show, or I would convince people, like when I'm in person, I was like, I'll tell you what, call Chevy right now and say, hey, the computer for my brand new Corvette died. I need a brand new PCM that has more chips than anything else. They can call, and within 7 days, they'll have a new one. This whole mystique of, oh, there's a chip shortage, oh, the supply chains. Yes, that was a big deal back then. I remember seeing cars in Michigan lined up that couldn't be shipped out because they were waiting on chips. They're waiting for certain modules to come in because they couldn't release some cars. That was a total thing. But now the supply chain, it's complete BS. Everybody's manufacturing everything. There's only one company that's still affected, and it's BMW, and I think Volkswagen, is because the major company that made all their wiring harnesses is in Ukraine. And unfortunately, due to the war, that's why they're having a little bit of a supply chain, but they've already subbed that out to Mexico and a few other countries. So the fact that I keep hearing people play this, like you said, FOMO, that's all these dealers are doing. Fear, you know, I'm going to make you scared. You're going to miss out, fear of missing out, and they're going to keep the prices high. That's their tool to keep this fake market propped up.
Okay, great answer. By the way, TSMC is the name of the Taiwanese chip manufacturer. Two main ways to buy a used car. You go to the used car dealer and you see what they have around, or you buy in the secondary market from a private individual. Do you have a sense whether one of those two is going to be a materially better market to buy in this year?
It's 100% consumers. So I would buy off of Facebook Marketplace, Craigslist, OfferUp. That's currently where I buy. I get better deals from people on Facebook and Craigslist than I do at the auction. Dealers have lines of credit. They overpay for cars. They don't care. And the reason why you're going to get better deals buying from people is because a person doesn't have the capital to withhold months and months and months on a
Right.
car that's depreciating. They're willing to cut it loose because they have other bills, other expenses. Where these dealerships, they don't care. Some of these dealer groups, I mean, I don't think people realize how much money dealerships have. Like some of these owner groups are multimillionaires and they'll sit on a car just for ego's sake because they refuse. I don't lose money on cars, I only make money on cars. And this is the same greed and arrogance and pride that's going to make them crash down at the same time. So for anybody that's watching, if you're looking for a car, you'll get a much better deal from a regular consumer looking to move that inventory. And I think you're going to see a lot more of that now because I'm watching people fire sell cars left and right. When I went to CarMax, there was a line of people trying to sell their cars. I was going to make a video just as a joke, taking my R8 in there to see what they give me for a, $200,000 car. But the line was so long, it was a 3 hour wait for them to look.
Wow.
So I just drove off. But that's how bad it's getting.
All right. Well, Lucky, look, one of the questions I was going to ask is, you'd make a lot of videos sort of on the dirty tricks that car dealerships use on people, to manipulate them when they come into the dealership. Rather than do that short shrift right here at the end of our discussion, I'd be really interested in having you back on at some point just to do a deep dive into the best practices for buying a car. You've already rattled a few off here, but I'm sure you got an awful lot more. So if you're game for that, folks, if you'd be interested in having Lucky come back on to do that, do me a favor. Let me know in the comments section below. And if there's enough interest, I'll definitely see if we can get Lucky back for that. All right. A couple other questions about topics that you talk about in your YouTube channel, which at this point, I think I'm just going to have to direct people to go there, since we're running to the end of our time here, Lucky. But this has been a great discussion. So it sounds like, wrapping up, you think prices are going to get better this year. If someone's looking for a car, patience is going to help them, at least in the near term. Q2 of this year sounds like you think may be really the right time to strike. If you're going to be in the market, probably buy from a private individual off of a site like Facebook or Craigslist. Is there anything else that we didn't talk about yet that you just want to make sure we put on the table here in your first appearance on this channel?
One would be whatever price that you see, everything is negotiable then. Now that the market is slowing down, don't be afraid to negotiate. I'm not sure why people are just they talk a little bit to one dealer and they just get discouraged and they walk away. Pin dealers against each other, really negotiate, send out 10, 15, 20 offers. It's okay. That's part of the business. Just whatever you do to get the better deal. And the one thing I'm going to tell you that dealers are tricking people about, everybody's scared about high interest rates. If you get somewhere like, let's say Toyota, and they say, hey, you know what, we're going to sell you this car at 2% or 3%, be scared because only the banks that are only dealerships, franchises that have their in-store banks are allowed to sell over what banks are allowing for, which means that if these in-house banks, Toyota Financial, GM Financial, Ford Motor Credit, if they're the only ones coming to you with a really low rate, that means that they're charging too much money and the other banks don't want to accept it. So if
Interesting.
you're getting a sweet deal, you're not, you're getting railed. If say, you know what, I don't like Ford Motor Credit, give me another one, or I'll tell you what, I'm going to go to my credit union and get pre-approved. Your bank's going to say, hey, here's a $50,000 check. That's all the car's worth. And then you're going to go to Ford Motor Credit and they're going to try to sell you that same car for 60 grand. So just for your people, if you're getting a really low interest rate, really look at that deal because there's something there. There's a reason why they're sending it to a captive bank is because they're overextended in that vehicle and they're selling it for more than what other banks are going to give them for it.
Got it. Got it. They're overpricing the vehicle and trying to make it sweeter by giving you a sweet deal on the financing. Great. Thank you so much for putting that down there. All right. Well, Lucky, it's been great having you on here. For folks that would like to follow you and learn more about you and follow your work, where should they go?
My YouTube channel is pretty simple, just Lucky Lopez. If you go to Instagram, it's at Lucky Lopez as well. And I just do 2 times a week shows, just talking about the automotive industry. And we got some other fun stuff coming up soon.
Awesome. All right. Well, look, when we edit this, Lucky, I'll put up the URL to your channel there so that folks and your Instagram handle as well, or your Twitter handle as well, so that folks know exactly where to go. All right. Well, look, this has been great. Just a reminder for folks, if you are especially looking to potentially buy a car this year and prices are still, you know, higher than we'd like at this point in time, it's a big purchase for most families. You know, feel free to talk about it with your personal financial advisor to make sure that you're not overextending yourself on the price. You know, go in basically forearmed with, you know, what your maximum expenditure should be. If you've got a good professional financial advisor that can help you make that decision, great, stick with them. If not, or if you want a second opinion from one of the ones that Wealthion endorses, just set up a free consultation with them to have that discussion by going to wealthion.com, filling out the short form there. You have a quick consultation with them. Doesn't cost you anything. There's no commitment to work with them. It's just a public service that they offer. If you've enjoyed this conversation with Lucky half as much as I have, and you'd like to see him come back on this program again in the future, please do me a favor and support this channel by hitting the like button, then clicking on the red subscribe button below, as well as that little bell icon right next to it. Lucky, this was really wonderful. I'm so glad we could make this happen. Went even better than I was hoping for. Really just a total pleasure to have you on.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been great, and looking forward to the next one.
Great. Same here. Everybody else, thanks so much for watching.